turn together in our Bibles to Romans chapter 3. We continue to work our way through Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Holy Spirit-inspired Apostle Paul. The book of Romans is a rich letter, helping us to understand very clearly, we trust, the gospel, the good news of the gospel of God's grace. And to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Romans chapter 3, we're going to be focusing on the verses 27 to 31, the last five verses of the chapter. But just to remind ourselves, we have been seeing from Romans 2 and 3 the fact that we need God. There is none who is righteous, no, not one. And we have been seeing that there is no way for us to save ourselves, no way for us to be good enough by the works of the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, Romans 3, verse 20. And we saw last time at Romans 3, verse 21, but now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. This is the glory of the gospel. This is the wonderful gift of God's grace, the amazing grace of his salvation. We're going to pick up there again at verse 21 with the but now. Let's give our attention to the holy word of God. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And now the last five verses, our focus for this evening. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. I urge you to keep your Bibles open here in Romans chapter 3. As I mentioned, we'll be focusing on the verses 27 through 31. I'd like to read verse 27 once again. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when I was young, it was drilled into me, maybe it was for you too, don't boast. Don't be a boaster. Don't be a bragger. Always talking yourself up. Always saying great things about yourself. Nobody likes a bragger or a braggart. When you think of someone who is a boaster, it brings to mind, doesn't it? Someone who is puffed up, full of hot air, never able to stop talking about themselves. A bloviating braggart, we might say. And it makes us uncomfortable to be in the midst of such people. And we were told, we were learned when we were young, you don't do that. You don't be a boaster. You don't brag. And we pick up with where the Apostle Paul has us here this afternoon at verse 27. Where's boasting then? It is excluded. It's ruled out. There's no room for boasting. It is forbidden. Now we understand that particularly to have to do with the blessing of our relationship with God. The blessing of our salvation, the blessing of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. There, certainly, there can be no boasting. It is excluded. Now that may give rise to the question, what are we doing here this afternoon? What have we witnessed with our eyes here this afternoon in the profession of faith of Abigail and Madison? Is that something to boast about? And what have we been talking about in terms of the Apostle Paul's teaching here in the book of Romans? We've been talking about the blessing, the gift of salvation. Is that something to boast about? Now, when we ask these questions, let me assure you, my aim and intention here this afternoon is not to give a grammar lesson or a lesson in diction or the use of vocabulary. Could it ever be said to a young lady professing her faith by a friend, by her parents, by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm proud of you? Now, in light of the Apostle Paul's words, we might say we want to be a little careful with that kind of language, but we're not going to trip over that language necessarily if we know what we mean. What do we mean? Is there a place for us to boast? Is there a place for Abigail and Madison to boast and to say, you know, we kept ourselves pure. We worked hard. We read the Bible a lot. And here we are today. Would there be a place for her family and her loved ones to say something along the same lines? You know, we prayed often for our children. We taught them the Bible, all of which I'm sure is true. Or even for us as Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to say, well, you know, we did our part. Something for us to boast in. And immediately, we recognize, well, that's not it, is it? And we recognize that we would rather than speak of pride and boasting, to speak of gratitude and awe. And so we say here again this afternoon, we thank God for you. We thank God with you. We thank God. We thank God for His grace. And as we think about these things in this way, then we need to appreciate that Paul's teaching at the end of Romans 3 helps us. Helps us to live with the blessing of salvation. Helps us to know where to go with it. Helps us to know how to be in awe, with a sense of humble amazement in the glory and blessing of salvation. We don't boast. We don't pat ourselves on the back. We give God all the glory. How could I possibly boast? We ask that with the Apostle Paul. That's the word I bring this afternoon. How could I possibly boast? And we're going to see that in three ways. I'm just going to highlight for you, maybe you heard it, maybe you picked up on it. When we read those five verses at the end of chapter 3, there are actually six questions. Paul comes at us with questions here. Maybe they're questions that were fired at him. Maybe they're questions he anticipated, but he comes almost in machine gun fashion with a staccato rendering of questions. In verse 27, there are three of them already. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? There are three questions. And that will help us to focus in the first place on how could I possibly boast when I have the gift of salvation. And it's all the grace of God. And we'll see at verse 29 that he asks two more questions. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. How could I possibly boast, therefore, in the joy of my salvation when I consider other people? We're not standing here as God's children and saying, I'm better than you. We're standing with a sense of awe at the wonder of his grace. And then he asks the sixth question in verse 31, do then we make void the law through faith? Paul has been busy making sure that we realize we cannot save ourselves. We are not saved by doing better. We are not saved by keeping the law because we can't and we won't. Now, if that's the case, the implication might be for some, we're done with the law. That's great. No, it's not great. That's not what you want. That's not what the humble, thankful, redeemed child of God wants to say at all. So how could I possibly boast when I order my life by God's law? That's what I want to do by the grace of God. So how could I possibly boast, number one, when I have the gift of salvation? Let's just imagine in our minds for a moment, as sort of a foil, sort of the opposite of what the Apostle Paul is challenging us with here. Imagine if we were to ask someone who is a Christian, so why are you a Christian? How did it come to this point? How did you get here as a Christian? And imagine that person actually forgetting what a Christian is, forgetting the wonder of the grace of God, began to answer in ways that sounded like this. Well, again, I've always worked hard. I've always done my best. I read my Bible a lot. I've been diligent at prayer. I go to church all the time. We might say. That's boasting, isn't it? Where's boasting then? It is excluded. It's excluded. There can be no possible place for that sort of thing. It's excluded. Now let me, I should have mentioned this earlier when I laid out the three questions, two questions, one question. Especially for our visitors, it's often the case that my first point is longer than the second two. It's certainly going to be the case today. That's a word of encouragement. We want to spend the most of our time focusing on the questions the Apostle Paul is talking about, and then we'll see the implications for the other ones as well. There can be no boasting. What do I have to boast about? Now, you have to appreciate that when the Apostle Paul writes this, it's probably something that he's thought about a lot. It's something that comes out of his own experience. He was a braggart. He was self-confident. He talks about that some more in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, if you want to quickly turn there, don't lose your page in Romans 3, page 1350 in the Pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 3. He speaks there about his eagerness to keep saying the same things to them. That is to say, he is going to preach the gospel and preach the gospel and preach about righteousness that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ only by grace, again and again and again. I never get tired of this, he says. It's not tedious for me. For you, it is safe. He wants God's people. We see at the end of verse 3, to rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And then he goes on, he says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. Now, it's a different word, confidence versus boasting, but it's the same concept, right? I've got confidence in the flesh. I had every reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. That's what he thought of himself. That's how he carried himself. That was the arrogance of the Apostle Paul before the Lord struck him down, before the Lord Jesus Christ shone the light and brought him to his senses. So Paul goes on, Philippians 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as a pile of garbage. I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The gift of God's amazing grace, the gift of salvation, the gift of everything. It's all by God's grace. What do we have, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, that we have not received? Let us never boast as though we had not received it. Let us never boast as though we had given it to ourselves. This is the wonder and the blessing of the grace of God. And when you have a taste of that, when you've come to know that, you know that you cannot, you do not, you will not boast. Paul says it repeatedly in different places. He says it in Galatians 6, verse 14, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 14, the blessing communicated there is wonderful and glorious. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. God forbid that I should boast. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31, the Apostle Paul teaches us that we should learn to boast in the Lord. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Paul there is quoting Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Don't boast in your riches. Don't boast in your strength. Don't boast in your understanding. Boast in this, that you know me, says the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Now, this is something we know, right? We know the right answer. We shouldn't boast. But I want us to appreciate that it's important for us to continue to hear this. And I think you should know that. I know this. I'm not saying I'm so smart that I know this. I'm saying I know I need it. And you probably know I need it, right? Where is boasting? What do we have that we have not received? It's all the amazing grace of God. Now, let's just reflect a little bit on what Paul does when he asks the next question. By what law of works are the next questions? By what law of works? What is it that makes us understand there's nothing for us to boast about? When he speaks about the law of works, He speaks about the principle that we might be saved by our works. Can you do that? No. You know better. You have come to realize that by the grace of God. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You can't save yourself. We're not good enough. We don't even care. There's none who is righteous. No, not one. So by what principle? By the works of the law? No. You know, if you're going to try to have something to boast about by saying, look how I kept the law. Look how well I've done. Look how serious I am. Look how much better I am than all of the rest of you. Not that. Now, the Apostle Paul is saying, no, not by the works of the law, because he wants us to appreciate there may be the idea of some, I think I can. But he gets even deeper for us, not by the law of works, not by the principle of works. That doesn't stop your boasting so much, because you're going to think, look at me. You're going to think, I can do this. I can handle it. I'm better than you. But no, he says, by the law of faith. That stops all boasting when you understand what faith is. What is faith? Faith is trusting, yes. Faith is resting. Faith is receiving. Faith is acknowledging. God is faithful. I trust him. We sometimes use the acronym, right? Forsaking all, or all else, all others. Forsaking all, I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Then are you going to say, look at me, I believed. There can be no boasting in faith, can there? Because what is faith? Casting yourself into the arms of a loving God and Savior. You have done nothing, and we realize that if we know anything about ourselves and even just a little bit about the Bible. Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, not by works, lest anyone should boast. There's no boasting when it's all of faith. When we understand it's all of faith, we acknowledge it's all God. This is the gift of God. The fact that I have come to believe is the amazing grace of God and nothing else. So I know I have nothing to boast about. Now again, we may think to ourselves, well, that was drilled into us from the early days of our youth. And we know this teaching. We've been taught it. That's been drilled into our minds. But as I said, we still need to hear this, because the inclination to boast is still an inclination of our sinful hearts. It's so easy for us to look down our noses at others. This tendency to boasting can be so subtle. Many times when we think about these things, we think about the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18. You know the story Jesus used? Now, it's kind of different for us than it would have been for his first hearers, because when he said there was a Pharisee who went to the temple and he began to pray, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. I'm not like this tax collector. And I thank you, God, that I tithe the tenth of all that I have, that I fast, and I thank you. And he gives a list of the things he's thankful for in terms of what he does. The original hearers would have said, when Jesus is talking about the Pharisee, well, this guy is righteous. This guy is set apart. This guy is special. But Jesus turns that on its head when he speaks of the man who is beating his breast, the one who is a tax collector, despised by people. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, that man on his knees, humbled before God, he's the one who went home justified. Now, it almost doesn't have the sort of shock value it would have had originally for us, because we know the story. We know the Pharisee is the bad guy. We know that. And we're proud of it. We're proud that we know that. We're proud that we're better than that dumb Pharisee. You see the subtlety in terms of the way in which we can still find ourselves boasting, why we need to be encouraged again and again in the gospel. Sometimes people can be proud of their humility. You know, I'm so humble. You should see how humble I am. You recognize that doesn't make sense either, does it? We can be proud of our theology. We know better than others, when rather we should be amazed and thankful for the teachings of the grace of God. You know what an oxymoron, I used that term before, a contradiction in terms, an oxymoron it is to be a proud Calvinist. It doesn't make sense. It's actually reprehensible. It actually is a denial of the gospel. We should be a humble, amazed, and in awe people at the wonder of God's grace. People may boast in the fact that, and this may be, you might say, a tendency for another group of Christians who are not Calvinists. Let's just say that. Well, I can boast because I believed. Because I decided. Because by my so-called free will, I came to my senses and I distinguished myself from others. Where's boasting? It is excluded. There are others who may boast. Again, this may take us into the realm of what we might call hyper-Calvinism, just to use some terms. I can now boast because I've had an experience. Where is boasting? It is excluded. And I tell you, that is good news, that boasting is excluded. And when we understand what the Apostle Paul has been saying here, we may also say, in terms of where we stand before God in Jesus Christ, we all stand in the very same place. The girls who've stood before us here this afternoon are not more justified than some of us others who may be struggling with our sin. You bring that sin to the Lord and you rejoice in the blessing of forgiveness. And all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are just as justified as everyone else. Just as justified as the Apostle Paul. Just as justified as Jesus. Because what is it to be justified by faith alone because of Christ alone? It is, here are the words we try to remember these things by, just as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner. Just as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Jesus Christ has been in my place. Just as if I had paid the penalty for all of my sins as Jesus Christ has done for me. His righteousness is my righteousness. And so I have peace with God because of who He is, because of what He's done. There's nothing for any of us to boast about over against anyone else. Another subtle form of boasting, think about this, I tossed this out this morning and said we'd touch on it this afternoon. A subtle form of boasting is when we are stuck in ourselves with what you might call an inferiority complex. That's actually a subtle form of boasting. And what's the problem? We're thinking about ourselves too much. Timothy Keller has written an excellent little book that I commend to every one of you. I've maybe done this before. The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. And he says, our problem is not that we think too much of ourselves, per se, or that we should think less of ourselves. We should just think of ourselves less. You don't need to worry about an inferiority complex when you have come to understand your standing before God is that you are the lowest of the low in terms of being unworthy as a sinner, and God in Christ has set his love upon you. In language we used, I think it was for Madison, Paul's words in Galatians 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, the blessing that we have, it's no longer I who live, is not that we are obliterated, that we are wiped out, that we are irrelevant. We're not Buddhists. The blessing is, we may say, he loved me and gave himself for me. And the law of faith that Paul is talking about here in verse 27 is the reality that God in his wisdom has given a way whereby we may come to God, trust him, take hold of him, believe in him. And we would say, as Abby and Madison have professed their faith, we may say they have believed in the Lord, but they will quickly tell us, but not I, but through Christ in me. And every one of us must personally believe. We must rest in Jesus and receive the promised mercies. And then every one of us will not boast. And we will say, it's all you. It's all you, God. It's all your amazing grace. How could I possibly boast? So how could I possibly boast when I have the gift of salvation? Let's move on. That was our first point. How could I possibly boast when I think about other people? Here's the question, verse 29. One more thing to tack on. It didn't finish my first point. Verse 28, and we can just read it because it is so very clear. It's so very clear in terms of the conclusion of the matter or the reality that we must rest in. 3 verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Justification by faith alone. You don't add to the blessing God has given you. What an encouragement. If we've thought ourselves inferior, who cares? God has set his love upon us. God has shown his amazing grace to us apart from the deeds of the law. Now on to verse 29 and our second point. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Now again, maybe this question doesn't strike us in the way it would have struck Paul's first hearers. We know the answer. Of course not. God is a God of all nations. The gospel is for all nations. Now he's going to elaborate on that further in chapter 4. We'll come back to that. And he's going to talk about Abraham. We talked about Abraham for quite a while when we looked at Genesis 12 through 25. But you need to think just a little bit about Abraham to appreciate what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Yes, he's the God of the Gentiles also, since there is, verse 31, God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. We're all saved the same way, Old Testament and New. It's by God's grace, through faith, resting in his promised Savior, resting in Jesus Christ. It's by faith alone for everyone. So the circumcised, those would be the Jews that Paul was one of and that he's addressing. They need to believe. They need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, those who didn't have the Old Testament, those who weren't given the promises earlier on, saved in the same way. The ground is level, they say, at the foot of the cross. It's for all nations, for all people. And the way we can appreciate that very, very briefly is by asking about Abraham himself. Was he circumcised or uncircumcised when he was justified? He didn't get circumcised till after Genesis 17. When was he justified? Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham was a pagan. Abraham did all kinds of silly things. Abraham and his family bowed down and worshiped the moon. And God brought him near. And Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. And that's why when Abraham is brought near, God's first words of promise to Abraham are, "Abraham, those who curse you, I will curse. But those who bless you, I will bless. Because all of the families of the nations of the earth will be blessed through you and your seed." So the design of God has always been that the likes of Abraham, a pagan, uncircumcised though he was, would be brought into sweet fellowship with God so that the gospel may go out to all the world. As we sing from Psalm 67, "Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you." So where is the boasting then? Is the boasting that we are, and we alone are, the special people of God? No. It's this sense of awe that the gospel is for the nations. Now, as I said, the Jew-Gentile distinction is one we've come to understand, or the removal of the distinction, should we rather say, in terms of everybody must come to faith in Jesus Christ. But as we seek to apply that as those who don't boast, as those who are not proud, let's appreciate that the go in Jesus' Great Commission is a kind of go that needs to get us out of our comfort zone. We're quite comfortable becoming more so by God's grace and the fact that God brings people of different nations into our midst. We're so thankful for that. But what about when we have different cultural struggles or issues? What if we have different approaches to life? What about the people who have been living at such a distance from God that they seem to be the ones we would rather stay away from? When we say there's no boasting, we recognize that they need the gospel too. And how are we involved in living in such a way, speaking in such a way, connecting in such a way that that can happen? And then finally, how could I possibly boast, our third point, when I order my life by God's law? Paul asks, finally in verse 31, "Do we then make void the law through faith?" Paul had made clear, you can't save yourself. The law is not going to help you. The law is going to condemn you. Are we just saying we're done with the law? get rid of the law? And Paul says here in our translation, certainly not. It can be translated, God forbid. No way. On the contrary, we establish the law. What's he saying? We'll consider this very briefly. On the contrary, we establish the law. You could say that what he had been saying earlier about the fact that God is going to put his son on the cross, and Jesus is going to hang on the cross as a demonstration of God's righteousness, and he's going to be punished on the cross as the law breaker in our place. So that everything, if you may for a moment speak of the whole Old Testament as the law of God, everything given to us in the ceremonies and sacrifices and in the temple and all of those things, everything that was declared there, that was just a picture of what is now established in what Jesus Christ has accomplished in the fulfillment of the law in our place. And if we're saying we have nothing to boast about in the glory of our salvation, that establishes the law. We may also say it in this way. The law was what God used by his Holy Spirit to show me my sin. We establish the law for its teaching of sin, as a teacher of sin, its purpose in that way. But now we also say, as those who say we have nothing to boast about, we say with David the psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 97, O Lord, how I love your law. I know it did condemn me. I know that it was hard for me, and now I know I don't have to keep the law to be saved. But now I want to walk in your ways, Lord, because I'm so thankful. I know I don't have to earn my way. I know I don't have to distinguish myself from others so I can say I keep it better than you do. But Lord, I want to live in such a way that people take note of the fact that I am different. Jesus said, let men see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let them see. And perhaps they'll say, you're special, aren't you? You're different. You must be a pretty good person. And you would say, no, 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 no. It's all grace. It's all God. There's no boasting. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And there's hope for the likes of you too. And you see how we establish the law? It may be by our testimony to the grace of God that people are able to see even through our lives. That's a good law, isn't it? Those are good commandments. That's a good way. He's a good God. I can't keep that law. I need his mercy. So there's no boasting. No boasting at all. In us, we give all the glory to God. We'll sing before we go home tonight. God forbid, or forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. I trust that as we live a life of not boasting, a life of giving God the glory, we may be encouraged ourselves in the blessing that Jesus is at work wonderfully in our lives. I pray that you all know that work. And I pray that that prayer of the hymn writer, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, would be yours. Or the language we're going to sing also from Stuart Townend's hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, will be our words. Not just words we sing, but words that characterize our lives. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His death has paid my ransom. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise and thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We praise you because you deserve all of the glory. As we sometimes say, as we walk through this life, we are doing better than we deserve. It is all your glorious grace. There's nothing to boast about save to boast in you, to boast in your grace, to boast in what Christ has accomplished, to boast in the cross of Christ, to acknowledge it's all you. Lord, give us all that sense of joy and confidence in such a way that our lives become different, noticeably different, not as proud people, not as people who keep our distance and are aloof, but people who are humbled and in awe of the blessing of salvation, and people who know that sinners can be saved because we have been, and people who want others to know this blessing. We pray, Lord, grant that all of us here may live in the joy of that blessing by grace through faith in Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen.